Chapel Hill police are still searching for a 71-year-old resident who's been missing for nearly 2 weeks. Russell Grant Corvey was last seen December 21st near University Gardens on Pritchard Drive Extension. If you have any information, again, call 911 or contact Chapel Hill Police directly. You can get more info on Corvey on our website, chapelborough.com. Well, we're a few days into the new year, and the start of 2023 means new elected officials are taking their oaths of office after winning seats in the November election. In Raleigh, new state Senator Greg Meyer took his seat this week, along with new state House Representatives Alan Boynsey and Renee Price. And closer to home, Jeff Niemann had his swearing-in ceremony on Monday as Orange and Chatham County's new district attorney. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell was there.
Everyone, no matter where they fall in the political spectrum or how they feel about all kinds of things, everyone believes that we need to have a fair criminal justice system.
On Monday afternoon, in between shaking hands, receiving hugs, and offering dozens of thank yous, Jeff Niemann shared his vision and passion for Orange and Chatham County's district attorney's office.
What seems to be the consensus is that there's nobody who has a greater ability to move at the local level a criminal justice system in the more positive, progressive, equitable, fair direction than the DA.
Minutes before, Niemann was sworn in during a ceremony that filled the mural courtroom in the Orange County Courthouse. Colleagues, community partners, friends, and family applauded as he took his oath, becoming just the fourth DA in prosecutorial District 18 in the last four decades. Niemann's campaign for the Democratic primary, in which he defeated Kaylee Tabor with about 60% of the vote, was based on similar themes as those he spoke about Monday. During his closing comments, the Chapel Hill native described how he bases his actions on the belief that all people deserve dignity and respect, from decision makers and representation in the criminal justice system to victims and defendants going through it. Among the other speakers during the ceremony was Niemann's father, John, who is a public defender in Guilford County. John described his son's efforts preparing for this moment and said he was proud of Jeff's honesty, sense of fairness, and steadfast holding to his values. One example, John said, is his son's stance against using the death penalty.
I practice in a district where they routinely use the death penalty to elicit pleas of life without parole. And from prosecutors who I know don't believe in the death penalty. And so that courage is something, one of many things, I'm very proud of my son.
Another speaker who credited Niemann's dedication was outgoing DA Jim Woodall, who retired after 31 years of being in the district's office. Woodall told 97.9 The Hill he remembers his own transition from assistant DA to the lead role. He said he's been preparing Niemann's expectations for the increase in responsibility.
He has to make the final decision on so many different things, and it's everything from basic office policy, the way the office actually runs, to big decisions on cases and policies for the district. And as an assistant DA, you may see that happening, but until you have to make the decisions, it's not something you've been able to spend a lot of time preparing for.
With 10 new assistant district attorneys sworn in with Niemann and several with decades of experience already in the office, the new district attorney will have several people alongside him in the new role. Woodall said, over the last few months, Niemann's willingness to empower, cooperate, and comfort those colleagues has stood out to him. When Niemann was asked about his priorities over his first days on the job, his focus was on that staff, meeting with all of his team across District 15B and continuing the next steps of transition to his leadership.
We started laying the groundwork for that, but it doesn't sit the same until you actually are fully in the office. So I plan to go to Chatham County first thing tomorrow, and I'll probably be back here either the latter part of tomorrow. If not, I'll definitely be back here by Wednesday and having those same conversations, trying to, on an individual basis, send some of the messages I was sending out there about how I'm here to support you, I have your back, what can I do to help you succeed?
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Over to Raleigh now, where the NNO reports new estimates from the U.S. Census Bureau show North Carolina's population went up by about 133,000 people last year. That's the third largest population increase in the nation, behind only Texas and Florida. The overall U.S. population is now an estimated 334 million people. Also in state news, Duke Energy executives apologized yesterday for the rolling blackouts that affected hundreds of thousands of residents over Christmas weekend. They said the blackouts were caused by a quadruple whammy. The cold temperatures led to a spike in demand and simultaneously froze some of Duke's equipment, reducing power production at 5 coal and natural gas plants. Efforts to purchase power from other companies failed because they were also dealing with higher demand. And fourth, a software issue caused the rolling outages to last far longer than expected. Governor Roy Cooper issued a statement yesterday directing Duke to take steps to prevent a similar issue from happening again and to improve communication lines with customers. Governor Cooper's statement noted that the power issue was due in part to equipment failures at Duke's coal and natural gas plants. Renewable energy resources continued to function as normal. Environmental advocates are continuing to push for a faster move away from fossil fuels and toward renewables, especially with data showing the last 7 years on Earth were the 7 warmest on record. Ashley Ward is a senior policy associate at Duke's Nicholas Institute for Energy, Environment, and Sustainability.
I think legislatively, I'm not sure that we could say there's ever, at least in my lifetime, been a more productive year. You know, we had the bipartisan Infrastructure and Jobs Act, the CHIPS Act, the Inflation Reduction Act, $370 billion for climate in that one alone. And then, of course, at the end of the year, the omnibus bill that just passed that actually, you know, looped back around and picked up some of the things that had been missing in some of the other bills. So, you know, I don't know how we could look back at 2022 and not say that it has been quite clearly one of the most successful years for climate policy. As a moment of hope, I think, for 2023, 2022 was all about setting us up for the clean energy transition. What I want to see in 2023 more than anything is for us to use 2023 as really talking about climate health. What does this mean now? We have the clean energy transition that we've started. We've really made a long way on this in this last year. How can we now transition to thinking about health and well-being in our communities and the impact the climate crisis has on us?
That's Ashley Ward speaking there on 97.9 The Kill. That conversation was last week, and you can listen back to the full discussion in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelboro.com. Finally, condolences to the friends and family of Molly Corbett Broad, a major figure in American higher education who served as UNC system president from 1997 to 2005. Broad passed away on Monday at the age of 81. Time now is 6:18. Time for sports, brought to you this hour by Almaz Jewelers. Big game tonight for UNC men's basketball as the Tar Heels host Wake Forest at 9 p.m. Carolina's hoping to bounce back from Friday's loss at Pitt, but the Demon Deacons will pose a challenge. They are 2-1 in ACC play, including a win over Duke, and they've got 4 players averaging double figures in scoring. Led by point guard Tyree Appleby, he's got 18.5 points a game. That is second in the ACC. Number one in the ACC would be Carolina's own Armando Bacot. Here's head coach Hubert Davis on tonight's game.
They are a very good basketball team. They've got really good guard play that can make shots but also put themselves in a position where they're attacking the basket and they can distribute. They're always extremely well coached and a very good defensive team, and I'm sure they're coming here with a lot of confidence after back-to-back ACC wins, as you mentioned, against Virginia Tech and also Duke. And so, but we're looking forward to that challenge of playing them. We're looking forward to being on our home floor and being back at home. The Pittsburgh game ended a stretch where we were away from home 8 out of the 10 games. So whether it was a true road game or a neutral site game, that's a lot. That's a lot.
It's Hubert Davis there. Tonight's game tips off at 9 p.m. We'll have it all for you right here on 97.9 The Hill, beginning at 7:30 with Countdown to Tip-Off. Tar Heels will be without freshman forward Will Shaver. Davis said this week that Shaver is out for the rest of the season with a broken foot. UNC basketball just got some good news on the recruiting front. Meanwhile, 4-star center James Brown out of Chicago is committed to Carolina for 2024. 24/7 Sports ranks him as the 27th best player in the nation in his class, and with Brown's commitment, UNC now has the top-ranked recruiting class in the nation for that year. Elsewhere in sports, preseason rankings are out for men's lacrosse, and UNC checks in at number 17 in the nation in the Nike USA lacrosse poll. Virginia is your preseason number one. Duke comes in at number 7. And finally, in hockey, the Carolina Hurricanes' 11-game winning streak came to an end last night with a 5-3 loss to the Rangers. Canes are back home tomorrow night, hosting Nashville at 7.